Well, this morning we're going to go back in. I started last week. I don't know exactly how it's going to go today, but we started a teaching the Lord spoke to me about is in dealing with manifestations of God. I titled it that because of anything that we want in Christianity, really is to God to manifest Himself. We desire that. But in looking at manifestations of God, we have to go to and look at from Scripture and things because how does God manifest Himself? How does He do it? And so we need to understand, there's things we need to understand how God manifests Himself. And you've heard me talk about this. People talk about the presence of God, and lots of times I've read books on the presence of God and stuff, and people talk about the presence of God and talk about, well, if we get into the presence of God, then things are just going to happen. Well, I think people work at that. What people, lots of times I think they're really talking about is what they want God to manifest. Because too many Christians live like we're trying to get to God. And we're not trying to get to God. He is present. Now, in other words, it doesn't matter how much... When do I think that I get into the presence of God? See, when somebody talks and you write a book about getting in the presence of God, if you do this and you do that to get into the presence, well, when do I know that I'm in the presence of God? When does that happen? Well, they never talk about that. How do I know that I get, when I arrive at the spot, how do I know? Well, as lots of times I found this over the years, is when I'm acting in line with the Word of God, that God is present. And I start acting as if He's present. When I go to Him and praying, and I'm praying like He's present, I'm praying like He's hearing me, most people are praying trying to get God to hear them. That's unbelief. We're never trying to get God to hear us. You're a child of God. You're born of God. The Holy Spirit of God. Just God, the Holy Spirit's in you and alive. And He's not deaf, and He doesn't need a hearing aid. And when you're talking, you know, it's like with me, I talked to the Holy Spirit this morning. I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning. I was, you know, since we moved here, I was going to start this thing as I was going to get up at 6 instead of 5:30. And I've been waking up now earlier than that. but you know, I just said, and I'm just meditating over the things that, you know, what God's, I want to know what God's saying, what's He want to bring out? What's He want to do? And see, it's living like God is alive. You know, one of the things we're supposed to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and He's alive. And see, living like He's alive. Living like, you know, Jesus said, hey guys, I'm going to leave here. He told us, I'm leaving here, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask the Father, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to come and live and abide with you forever. Anything that I know, what goes on, that's it. He's going to reveal it all to you. That's what He's going to do. In fact, He's going to do such a good job, He's going to show you what's in the future things. So you can know what's ahead, so you can be well prepared. So you can be well prepared of what's going on. You see, there's one thing. I'm living in the day and age. I've known this years ago, some of these things that were coming up in the future. Today that I'm living in. God had already told me back years ago. See, I don't believe that you just have to run in the future. Then you start praying and trying to figure out from God what to do. That'd be foolishness. What's the point of the Holy Spirit if He ain't showing you what's ahead? To me, I can't imagine the Holy Spirit not revealing things to me and not showing me things ahead. In my entire Christian walk, He has. You don't have, you know, I was just a fool and believed the Word was true. I thought it was. I was one of these fools when I came to Christ and I started going to church. I started going to a Spirit-filled church. I'd never been in one of those before, you know. When I was a kid in church, they didn't believe in being Spirit-filled and stuff. And, you know, they never much talked about the Holy Spirit and anything. They didn't really discuss that too much. He was more of an it or something, or a vapor somewhere, or something like that. We didn't know what He was. But I just, in reading the Scriptures, I just thought it was true, and I just believed it. And from the time I was born again, God started revealing things to me and started showing me things ahead, things that would happen. It just started coming to me. I mean, I never sought it. I never went after it. In fact, I told the Lord I wasn't going to go to study the end time. I was going to stay away at the end times because when I read the Bible and I listened to people preach about it, I thought they ought to get a Bible. Because I thought, what are these people talking about? They're saying things the Bible don't say and they're making remarks about things that are totally out of context. And I said, Lord, this is crazy. You know what the Lord spoke to me? I said, Lord, they say there's 20 different ways that you're coming back. They're everybody's brother. And the Lord said to me, He said, yeah, 19 of them are wrong. That's what He said to me. He said, 19 of them, just as clear, He spoke to me and said, yeah, 19 of them are wrong. So you have to weed through things. Well, one of the things that I've found this over the years is doing through it is by the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is the teacher. See, it doesn't matter what a person says. The Holy Spirit's going to bear witness with Jesus Christ. He may not bear witness with you or what you said. He might just, you know, if what you said might be wrong, He's going to bear witness with the truth. That's what He does. So, but I want you to get this idea. We're talking about manifestations of God. It's God's great desire to manifest Himself. It's God's great desire. He has always done it. God has always done with His people in the earth is manifest Himself. God is not hidden. You know how God is hidden? The Bible talks about God being a hidden God, and it's from this standpoint, through unbelief. See, when you're in unbelief, you're not in contact with God. He's hidden from you. See, we go into earth. See, like we sit here, we believe what the Bible says about God. So it's normal for us to think about, well, God's with us. He lives in us. I can take you to most churches. They ain't even got that. I'll never forget Jehovah's Witnesses, the first time I ever, second time I ever had encounters. Two ladies came, and they were Jehovah's Witnesses, and I listened to them. I always got a kick. I listened to them talk about things, and these two ladies came along, and they made some statements about some stuff. And I said to them, you guys, does God live in you? And they said, God can't live in somebody. I said, what do you mean? So I took them over the scriptures where Paul wrote, says, don't you know that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? And I'll never forget the look on their face. Because, see, they're not taught the scriptures. Now, they carry Bible. They'll carry a Bible to your door, but that's not their doctrine. Their doctrine comes from their little booklets and stuff they teach. And I said to these two ladies, I said, the Bible says, and I said, you came to my door, you got a Bible, and your Bible says God's lived in you. I said, you don't know it? You don't know that? And they said, well, we're going to have to go and tell our... I forget what they called him. It was a certain person, I guess, who was a high up who tells them what they're supposed to believe. And he said, we're going to have to go talk to them and see what they have to say. I said, don't bother. I'll tell you what they'll say. They'll take you over to one of your little books and you'll be away from the Bible in 10 minutes. I said, you're going to go nowhere. And I always tell them this, don't come to my door and lie to me and tell me you believe the Bible and the Bible is the Word of God. Because I always put them up to that. And they always lie to me. They always lie. And I say, you know, all liars are going to be in a lake of fire. Don't go to door lying to people. Don't lie about it. Hallelujah. But God is one who manifests Himself. You know, I can speak personal experience from the time that I got born again and even before I was born again. One of the reasons that I got born again was God manifesting Himself to me. God just manifested. I don't know God any different than God in manifestation because the Word is not alive if it does not manifest. It is not alive. Anything that's alive... ought to prove it, it's alive. I mean, how can you... What are words on a page if they don't produce anything? What are they? Are they of any value? You know, I believe in many ways, a lot of Christianity, the Bible is more of an entertainment book. It's a nice thing that you can talk about and talk about things. It's fun to read the stories. It's fun to read about those things in the Old Testament they did. But most people don't believe that they will happen to them, that God would manifest Himself to them. And He will. And we need to pick that up in this idea. The Holy Spirit's alive in you. He's a person. And He wants to reveal Himself. Now, I want to talk about something this morning. Last week, I had put in the bulletin part of Kenneth Hagin's September 2nd, 1950 vision that he had. And I want to go there. This is a thing this week and then this morning, the Lord's dealing with me about it because there are certain things that we see here. And number one, there's some things that help us to see where we as individuals, where are we at? You know, there's one of the things today people are trying to figure out, you know, with Jesus coming back, and people have a lot to say about those things. But one of the things that I've never concerned myself so highly on the fact of exactly when, you know, trying to figure out about when he's coming back, and a lot of things people do, is number one is being ready. Am I in a position and place? Because there's one thing that I know, that if I'm walking where I'm supposed to be, everything's going to be all right. I'm going to be taken care of. God will look after me. I don't have to worry about a thing. And that's where you want to be. You want to be in a position that if you're ready, you don't have any worries or fears about anything. And we want to especially be in this time. Of all these things, we're living in a world that's full of manifestations, and most of them are manifestations we don't want to see. But there's manifestations all over the place. Stuff happening, all kind of crazy stuff. The church needs to allow God to manifest himself so he can manifest himself in this day and time. You know, the scripture says where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So the church sometimes believes that different. When they see things getting really bad, and they say, well, you know, God can't move. Things are so bad. Well, then when sin abounds, grace doesn't much more abound. You know, it amazes me is how people so quickly move away from scripture when things start manifestations. Instead of saying, well, we see what's going on out here. God's going to do bigger ones. God's going to manifest himself in a greater way. And so we need to become bold about these things. Now, one of the things is this vision. I'm not going to read through the whole thing. But this manifestation, this vision, Kenneth Hagin wasn't seeking for any kind of vision or any kind of thing going on. One of the things that really, in his vision, he was given a scroll to read. And he said when he read the scroll, it was like reading first person. Jesus was actually speaking. He said as you read it, it was as if Jesus himself was speaking. But I always think about the headline on the scroll. Now, this is not popular, especially today, in the which people don't realize. You know, people talk about the, you know, we have a positive message. Well, this may going to seem positive to many because that message, it said on there, the headline was war and destruction. Excuse me? Send me another newspaper. I want to give me one with something else on it. He said war and destruction. And there's things he talked about that he saw taking place. In that, he saw men marching off to war. He saw, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of men marching off to war. He saw older women and, you know, middle-aged women, young women with babies. He saw them bowed over crying and weeping going off to war. He talked about the fact that he saw cities with the skyscrapers. And he said he saw a city. First, he saw skyscrapers, and he said they were burned-out halls. They had burned out the skyscrapers. And he said, in the writing said there's going to be many such cities that are going to be, really pretty much all destroyed. Destruction is going to go on. Well, now we can look at it in a lot of different ways. One of the things that Kenneth Hagin said, he said there was a partial fulfillment, not the whole thing, but he said there's a partial fulfillment of that. He said was, with dealing with the Vietnam War and with the riots and stuff of the 60s that took place. But there's one thing that we didn't have at that time, and that's skyscrapers that were burnt out, hulls. That one didn't go on. We didn't have that. We need to know, and it can't be talking about the Twin Towers, the Trade Center, because they weren't burned out hulls. They collapsed. So you wouldn't have seen them in the city from that standpoint, burned out halls. They weren't from that standpoint. But there's things coming. In other words, he said there was a fulfillment where really is going to come to the future. This is not done. Now, his warning was this, that America is having its last call. And we want to look at that because we're seeing today fulfillments of things. And I want to talk about that because we're talking about manifestations and where we are. He's made this statement, and I want to read from here. He said, America is receiving her last call. And he said, some nations have already received their last call and will never receive another. Then he said, the time of the end of all things is at hand, was repeated at least 4 or 5 times. He said also that this was the last great revival. Now, at that time, if we would take in September of 1950, we're talking about that in 1948, the healing revivals had started. And they were really getting in a big swing into the 50s and then in through the 50s. So there was a big revival going on at that time. And we need to know about this with prophecy. And you've heard me talk about this and teach on it. When we talk about prophecy, you look into the Old Testament at prophecy. Many times Old Testament, if we look, the prophets prophesied about something that was dealing with Israel at the time. But that wasn't the final fulfillment. Many times prophecy, they call it, it's dual prophecy. What happens? There's a fulfillment toward the end time, really, because the Old Testament was a type and a shadow. And in the New Testament, things come into their full fruition. And so, with this, these prophecies, just like with this one here, this prophecy here, we're dealing in 1950. He said it's the last revival. Now, we have passed, we're into, this year will be, into September will be 72 years on, since this prophecy. But you and I sit here from this, see, we think, well, 72 years, the last revival, because we hear all these people talking about this revival to come. But see, we get in man's ideas and man talks from his perspective. God speaks from an eternal perspective. We speak by time. God don't live in time. Time doesn't exist. That's why the Bible says 1,000 years with the Lord is like a day. Do you ever think about what the millennial reign of Christ is going to seem like to us, the church? It's going to seem like a day. You know what? You think time's moving now? but we don't understand. We live in time, and so we think in time. And we need to understand with God, when the Lord's talking about this thing about getting people ready, you know, God was moving really during that time, people, but people strayed away. Why would God be speaking of America having its last call if the healing revivals, and there was another big revival per se was going to come? See, there's a move of God. There's not going to be another call to America. America's not going to get another call. If he is, well then this thing's with these prophecies are all lies. Well, they ain't lies. They're the truth. The Lord has spoken to me more about this prophecy over the last 10 years of any prophecy, even the ones written in the Bible. He has spoken to me more about this one. Paying attention to what's going on and what's happening. See, the Holy Spirit is not just going to keep speaking about the past of everything. He's going to be speaking to this generation what deals with us now. What's dealing with us. And we need to understand that. Because if we want God to manifest, what are we asking for? How are we viewing what God's doing? You know, people, there's one thing that we've had a lot of problem with. And whether people realize it, we have a lot of problems with prophets. And people don't even know that we do. Too many prophets are prophesying what people want to hear rather than what people need to hear. If we want to continue and step into a move of God, we have to understand what's going on in our time. If we're looking down the road, you know, I mean, if I went back into the 1990s of all the major prophets in the United States out of the Spirit-filled guys, and the things that they have said, loads of stuff was wrong. Loads of it was not correct. Loads of it wasn't right. They talked about America and what was going to happen in America. Well, my words, right now, I mean, we would be the shining light on the hill, and all the world was going to get saved because America was on the top of it all. The church was going to take over all the businesses in America. And all of them were going to come to the church. I listened to them preaching stuff. It was all wrong. All of it was wrong. See, man gets over and listens to things. And one of the things the Lord taught me, he said, if you'd paid attention to this prophecy, you would have known that it wasn't going to happen. That wasn't going to happen. That's not the direction things were going. We have two different, I've taught this before, there's two different kingdoms operating in this earth. And we need to understand this. These two kingdoms, Satan's kingdom and God's kingdoms, are starting to rise up in their fullness. We're starting to see them and how they manifest in fullness. It isn't all a one-sided thing. And people got the idea that when we got into the last days, we would come up to the last days, everything was going to be just peachy. It's just going to be wonderful. It's just going to be good. And it didn't. And you know what? There's a lot of people today who don't anymore pay any attention to a lot of what Christianity says, and they were Christians. I can see why people come to the place and say, yeah, we heard all this stuff before, and yeah, about him coming back. Why? You guys were wrong about it, all the other stuff. See, people heard it. And so, we're not doing this just to, is trying to criticize. What I'm trying to do, God wants to bring out, number one, God wants to bring the truth out. He wants to bring us into line of things. Because see, you're His children. These are the days God wants to separate between the world and the church. He wants the people to look and say, this is the church. They can look and say, hey, this ain't the world. This is the church. And over here, that's the world. Where it becomes a very clear thing. It has to be that. There's a dividing. It's just like Charles Capp said. He said the homosexuals didn't come out of the closet. He said God brought them out. God opened the door so everybody could see what was going on. Homosexuality, the biggest lie, the church brought homosexuality into its fullness. The church did it. The church followed the devil. Homosexuals were, back many years ago, we could go back into the 60s and seminaries had homosexuals teaching in seminaries. The seminary down in Lancaster, the one down there that has the Methodist and United Church of Christ, their seminary, I mean, I talked to a minister himself. He said, yeah, he went down there, went through that thing, that seminary, and he said, we had homosexuals, he said, were the professors at the place were homosexuals. Oh, and all these years before, see, they were getting into things. These churches were all moving in this direction, but not telling their people. They were all moving. Why? Because their leaders weren't Christians. Their leaders were full of sin. And they were bringing this, the devil had already gotten in. I mean, you go back to E.W. Kenyon, died, I think, in 1948. Go read his books he wrote before that. He talks about the church and how it was getting away from God. And he talks about in his time of those things that were going on. So it wasn't something new that was happening. What it was the blind church. Christians not seeing. Christians not paying attention to what's happening in our leadership and what's going on, what's taking place. And see, these things are important because now today we see these things come into fullness. We see, you know, this stuff going on. And people are all amazed and people say, well, you know, do you see the way things are getting? No, this is the way it's been. It did. None of this came in overnight. Nothing happened overnight. Washington didn't get to be the mess it's in overnight. It was slowly behind the backs of the people for decades. Cutting the people's throats in America. This stuff didn't happen overnight. Never does. It doesn't happen. People slowly start getting away and getting away. Kenneth Hagin's ministry, that God started his ministry for, was to get the church ready. Now think about this. All the years of his ministry on earth was to get the church ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Now he left. And that ministry is still working to get people ready. God has been moving all this time period, getting people ready. Now, I want you to see this because things that are written here about this, of the end times. He said, all the gifts, now listen, now, so in all these things going on that aren't good, but he says this, all the gifts of the Spirit will be in operation in the last days, and the church will do greater things than even the early church did, and have greater power, signs, and wonders than were written in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. He said, we have seen and experienced many healings, but would now behold amazing miracles such as not been seen before. More and more miracles will be performed in the last days, which are just ahead, he said. See, they started in the time. That healing revival started. We went, it was amazing because the healing revival went and then the teaching revival started right on the heels of that. Into the 60s started, God started raising up the teaching ministries. Now, one of the things we find, and here's where people get wrong, is what happened. Teaching ministry started coming to the forefront. And there was people who God used in the healing ministries, and he had healing ministries and things, because teaching ministries started becoming popular. They started trying to become teachers. They left their ministries. The healing revival was stopped by the healing revivalists. They decided they wanted to be teachers. You ever hear of Branham? Branham, I mean, a prophet's ministry, it was phenomenal, his prophet's ministry. But one thing Branham wasn't, was a teacher. And Branham ended up dying prematurely because he got over and wanted to be a teacher, and he left his ministry and started teaching, and he didn't have the anointing to do it, and he got teaching a lot of things that weren't good. And what's such a shame, because, see, people would sit down and criticize, but I think it's terrible because the church lost a prophet's ministry that was phenomenal. It was a phenomenal. Other ones followed suit in the same thing. See, the church, Christianity in America, follows popularity mostly. Not God. It's whatever's popular at the time. Right now, whatever's popular at the time, churches will do. Whatever's popular to do. People don't like to, you know, it's like going to the forefront. You know, today, whether people like to hear it or not, but it's just the way that it is. You know, it's like today people are doing all this stuff from you tattoo yourself, turn your hair purple, do all this stuff. It's to be seen. Absolutely. It's to bring ourselves in so people look at us. Amen. That's what we do. We want everybody looking at us. You know, I want to wear clothing that when I walk, people gasp, you know. Oh, and boy, they do. It scares me out here. I see things and I'm, oh my God. You know, I see women out here and stuff and I say, dear Lord, no wonder guys are getting gay. Dear God. They scare you the way they look. Dear God. You know, see, I need to wear clothes. But see, we get out there, but it's everybody wants to come to be seen. Everybody wants to be out here. And see, that spirit's strong in the nation, and the church is full of it. The church is full of be seen. Man putting himself out there before God. I mean, when we think back, like we look at religion and people think about like the big cathedrals and all that stuff, but you go to those, many of those big cathedrals and that stuff, even the minister was not seen when he preached. See, today it's all about, America's a visual place. You go into the big cathedrals, the choirs weren't seen. They were either up in the back or they were off into a side someplace where people, that wasn't what, it was about, see, you went to church for God, not for, it wasn't an entertainment place, it wasn't. We have become these things today. See, we've become all this about being seen. And we need to understand what this is about. We want God to be seen. What must become the most important to us is that God be seen. That God gets to manifest himself. That God gets to show. And you've heard me say this before, but I was reading an article where a guy who was a spirit-filled minister, and he was over in Europe, and he was doing a tour of one of the big cathedrals over there, and the tour was given, he had this, was a bishop or somebody, was leading him through and talking to him and showing him through this cathedral. And then he showed him up where the lectern was, and was way, you walked up around this thing, up way over on the side, back in the corner, off the side there, and that's where he stood. He said, well, people can't see you there. And he looked at him, he said, you go to church to see? See, we talk about faith and know little about it. There's things that people could teach us in Christian groups. You know, it's... I remember one time a Lutheran minister, they had this, the groups of ministers that would meet together, and pray for for Lebanon. And I went there for a while to that thing, and they would get together and go there and pray. And after a while, it got to be that we weren't praying for Lebanon anymore. It was all the ministers always praying about all their problems and all their stuff. They'd get, oh, we got this problem. I got so sick of hearing that. I thought, dear Lord, you know, this city needs help, and all it got is dumb ministers in it. That's all it got. People that don't know how to pray for themselves and always got a problem, always got a trouble. Hey, in life, there's always trouble. You can't sit around just praying about all your troubles all the time. I mean, you're doing that. Forget it. You're just going to live a life of misery. That's what you're going to live. You got to get outside of you. But anyhow, they're praying all the time. But they were talking. They had up at the Coleman's Park. They did this thing up there, and he had this one ministry come in that they had gotten together to come in. And anyhow, the leader got up there. And again, they did this thing about getting all the people come up here and pray for the ministers. They come up here, lay hands on the ministers and pray for them. They did this, and I really, this was really interesting, because this Lutheran minister, he's sitting there and he's listening to them, and they're talking about this and how neat they thought it was. And the Lutheran minister, oh man, I fell off my chair laughing, because he got him good. He just stopped and he said, you know, he said, you guys did that, but he said, none of that was biblical. He said, you'll never find in the scripture where the people laid their hands on the clergy. The clergy lays their hands on the people. Well, they all, see, all these wonderful spirit-filled, and I don't know what spirit it was, but all these other, they're sitting there and they're just looking down. Because, see, we practice a lot of things because people practice them. Just because they do. The laying on, let me just say this about the laying on of hands. The laying hand on hands is about imparting something. It is not about, it's not some kind of just show thing. Well, then we just do this. See, this is why healing and stuff don't work, because it's in the spirit-filled church. It's just a ritual you go through. Lay hands on a person. They don't believe anything's imparted. They don't believe anybody got something to give to them. And you know, people don't expect to get it. They don't know if they're going to get anything or not. And that's why nothing flows. This is not ritual. We lay hands for purpose. It's a transmission. It's called contact and transmission. It's a law. That's what it is. And we practice it. And people believe, you know, that's why, you know, today, as Kenneth Hagin used to use, and he used to say, we lay a lot of empty hands on empty heads. He was right. But the reason it was, he wasn't making funny, is nobody was really believing anything. We're following the ritual. We're not doing by ritual. Well, we follow the New Testament. The Bible says it's not a ritual. It's the ministry of life. We got to come back. See, when we can be practicing all these things, why don't God manifest? Because we're not doing the things that cause God to manifest. We are following a ritual, and there's no faith in it. Does somebody have something to pass on to you? See, the Lord told me, He said, when you lay hands on somebody, He spoke to me, when I was a young Christian, He said, when you lay hands on someone, my power is there to heal them. See, we're not doing it just to be nice. Well, I've heard men say, well, you know, we're touching someone, that comforts them. Dear Lord, but then they go die of the disease. Boy, that was comforting. Wasn't it? It's like, what is this nonsense? It's not what it is. We'll lay hands on the sick and they'll feel comforted. God's going to do something, because it said they'll recover. See, the church got to get bold enough to look at people and say, you know, we lay hands on you, you're going to recover. So if you want to stay sick, just, you know, go do something else. You're going to recover. That's what we do. Well, see, we've got to minister, and we have to have the confidence. It's like the Lord told me as a young Christian, He said, the more confidence you have when you speak to people about what I will do, He said, your confidence will grab them, and they'll take a hold of that. We many times speak too weakly to people. We're just, oh, well, you know, let's pray and ask God. Like, you know, we get in this nice little religious mode, and people say, well, I saw that with the guy down the street. I don't believe nothing. I've seen that before. And people are not in expectation. You see, people got to be sold that you're sold. They have to be. See, when people heard Jesus speak, they said, this guy talks like he had authority. This guy talks like he's got something. He's different than the scribes. See, the scribes and Pharisees were religious. They talked about Bible principles. They talked about things, but it was empty hands on empty heads. That's what it was. That's not what we're doing. God's in the manifestation business. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God lives in you. God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said how He would manifest Himself through you. Jesus did. Well, then it should be. It should be. We should become in expectation that those things were going to happen. Hallelujah. Well, we read here, it says, in the time, he says, the working of miracles will be in prominence. He said, we have now entered in the time of the miraculous. He said, now listen to what he says. Now here's what we can identify. He says, many of my people will not accept the moving of my spirit and will turn back and will not be ready to meet me at my coming. We need to understand the importance. See, you can't deny the move of the Spirit of God and be ready for Jesus. Understand this why. God, Jesus ain't being met, but I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Spirit's just like Jesus. To turn down the Holy Spirit is to turn Jesus down. See, I mean, I've listened to ministers today. You know, people did all the time. Y'all, people need to be born again. Yes, they need to this, that. And then turn around and criticize the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we need to understand this. We're having today people who once walked and operated in gifts of the Spirit in churches who no longer allow it to be in their churches. There's Rhema ministers that don't. Or you go to their church. Now, I've had traveling ministers tell me this. They go to churches, Spirit-filled churches, and they're not allowed to minister in any gifts of the Spirit. When you can get up, share the word, and you're done. You go sit down. You don't do anything of ministering to people. You're not allowed to do any of that. They have a back room in a closet where the Holy Spirit lives. And that's where you go back there. When the service is over, if anybody wants anything, you go back to their little back closet room and you go back there and they will minister to you. We hide the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit gives a rip to be in a place like that. I will guarantee you, Jesus probably ain't even at the door knocking. He's probably can't get in the parking lot. See, there's people, there are major churches in America that are not ready to meet Jesus when He comes. Major churches. See, this is one thing, this, like I've said before, this is the Spirit-filled church, the Spirit-filled church. It ain't the Baptist non-Spirit-filled church that Jesus was talking about, said, I've done all these things, I've done this, I've cast out devils in your name, I've done these miracles in your name, and He's going to say, go away, I didn't know you. The Baptist ain't doing that. Who's doing that? See, people leave. Here we have a warning. This warning came from 1950 of what was going to happen. Now, I'm sure that had to be a little difficult for them, because I know things that the Lord told me years ago. It became sort of difficult for me to look down the road. When I stopped today, when the Lord told me about the places of America would be darkness and light, I didn't think it was going to get as bad as it did. It's much worse than I thought. But see, I was measuring it against what was going on at the time. I'm measuring that, and I've learned to quit that. I've learned to stop that, because that's just normally what we do. We measure things according to what we know. Well, and I found out I'm definitely limited in what I know. So it's best that I not judge things the way I think it's probably going to happen, because that's what a lot of the end time books were written by, men judged by what they thought at the time. And so today, those books can be, you know, thrown away because they're not of much value. They weren't bad guys. They weren't bad people wrote them. But I see how it happened because I've did the same thing. You think in a certain way at the time. But as time goes on, it's like, oh, it's a whole lot different than I thought. It's a whole lot different. And so things have changed. So he said many people are not going to be ready to meet him at his coming. He said, now listen to what he says here. Many will be deceived by false prophets and miracles of satanic origin. False prophets. The warning of false prophets in the last day were going to deceive his people. Again, he's talking about his people. He's not talking about the world. Many of his people and following we call miracles of satanic origin. I want you to get this today because it's one of the things that the Holy Spirit. We want to talk about this. I sort of want to get this out so, because eventually I want to go over and talking to us about the move of the Spirit, following the move of the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit. But these things need to be dealt with. There has been over a long period of time a lot of manifestations and things that major ministers have gone along with and have been involved in. People get deceived all the time. I will tell you this. I would trust you folks here for less of a chance of getting deceived by false miracles than a lot of big name people. A lot of big name ministers, they move on what's popular at the time. See, I have watched the false miracles. I've watched the false things come through. I've watched, there was a woman, and her name was, and I'll tell you, her name was Lucy Riel. I'm not sure if she was in Central or South America where she originated from, one of those places. But anyhow, she was picked up by a woman minister here in the United States and was brought by her and another man, brought this Lucy Riel to the United States. And Lucy Riel, she had manifestations. And her manifestation, she would have oil poured from her hand. And I mean, I'm going to tell you what. I mean, she'd have oil poured for her heads. Now, one of the things that happens with these people, and this is one thing you and I need to guard ourselves against, especially like anybody ministry-wise. If you feel God's called you to the ministry, there's things you must watch yourself for. One of the things that becomes a very hard thing for ministers is this. When God uses you in a certain way, people want you to always do that. And you can either start yielding to people or you're going to yield to God. Because God don't always move the same way every time. But see, people like it. You know, people come to meetings and they want to see certain things because you did a certain thing sometime. And they want to see it again and you need to be very cautious with that. And what happens, ministers get over and they want to please the crowd. So what they do is they try to operate gifts that the Holy Spirit is not in. They try to do what they did before under the anointing, and they then try to do it without the anointing. And this is where people, there's ministers that I know of years past, this goes back some years. One minister was on TV, but anyhow, used before his television days, God would use him in the word of wisdom and word of knowledge a lot, and God really did use him. But he got over into things where he found out people liked it. They give you a lot of money to do it. The average Christian's money follows entertainment. That's what it follows. See, Jesus warned Kenneth Hagin about, like he said, gifts of healing. He said, don't ever take money from people because you ministered and healed them. They got healed through your ministry. He said, just take offerings, regular offerings when you take at a place. He said, somebody promised you and they bring you a child and you laid hands on them and that child gets healed. He said, they would almost give you everything they got. He said, don't, why? See, God don't want people manipulated, and a lot of ministers are manipulators. Now, I'm not saying to be ugly. They didn't realize they even got there. You go back to healing revival. See, one of our courses at Rhema was charismatic ministries, and what happened to the ministers ministered back that time. You know what they do? They got the point because there was all kind of money. When a big miracle took place, people would give every nickel they had. And what they would do is God would use them and there'd be a miracle take place. They would stop the meeting and take an offering. And the Holy Spirit would lift and other people wouldn't get healed. See, that anointing was there to be used to minister to people, not to take offerings. But they did it to take offerings. And the most amazing thing is the majority of those, all those ministers died prematurely. Almost every one of them. And the healing, the major ministers of the healing revival, there's only like three or four that lived through that. All the, and I'm talking about gifts of God that were phenomenal. Miraculous. Phenomenal ministries. But see, money. And you get over. See, people will get, you get over there and pop it. So they're always trying to do something. And so I learned this. I don't play to people. If God ain't moving, I ain't trying to step over into it. I mean, I won't even go to a tongues and interpretation. I just, if God ain't moving, we ain't doing it. I've learned that you don't do that. You allow God to do what He wants, but you don't do those things. And see, we're trying today to have manifestations from God through people who have abused it. And God ain't moving. God wants the glory for it. You know? Just like Gideon. If I get you a big army, go down there and do it. You're going to say, yeah, it was us. We did that. He said, You're going down with an army that can't lick them. I'm going to do it. That's what's going to happen. They're going to say, God did that. And see, that's what we have to come to today. We want a move of God. I want something that man can look at and say, that definitely wasn't Ed. Ed can't do that. If God ain't with Ed, it's just Ed. See, that's, we need to have to, we're dealing in areas of manifestation. And see, this, we're going back over to Lucy Riel. What she did, she probably had manifestations through her, this thing with oil. Well, she carried out, instead of, she made it a visual thing where people looked at her. Well, then she tried to do it in meetings that it wasn't working. And so she got over and started doing the things of putting tubes of oil up in her sleeves and stuff and things like that, you know. Well, so you play the crowd. The crowd wants it. Oh, the crowd loves it. Now, see, the first time I saw her in operation, and I told you guys about it, I was out at Rhema, but anyhow, we were helping another ministry. We were helping Ed Dufresne, and they asked us to go over and do their parking system because he didn't have one, and they had all these big-name people coming in, and she was sitting up on the front end of the church there, and they were just bringing towels out to her, and she's just soaking up oil into towels. I mean, just, this is, well, you know, I knew that God wasn't into this. No, no, God's not drawing attention because, you know, there's a guy up front preaching and the anointing on him is having a problem because everybody's focused over on the show, on the side. See, God, you need to understand what gifts of the Spirit are for. They're not to make you anything. And they're not to draw attention to you. They're drawing attention to Jesus. Gifts of the Spirit are not show. They are to heal. Look at Jesus' ministry. Do we see Him doing things for entertainment? No, He healed people. He delivered. Look what the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit did. It was to bless people. It was to bring blessing to people. That was its purpose. It's to draw attention to God and what God can do. Well, what was going on, or I'm sitting there in the meeting and I'm looking up front and I'm like, that going on up there can't be God. God don't have a guy anointed preaching up front and have a show going on the side distracting the anointing that's on that guy because he's having trouble preaching now because of that distraction. In fact, he ended his sermon before he was supposed to. He couldn't go any further because of the distraction with the anointing. And it was over. A big name, one of the biggest names in America in the ministry, stood up and said, God said she's supposed to lay hands on all of us. And I said, God said Ed's getting out of this place. She ain't touching me. I said, that ain't God. Well, now, we can't, Chris, I could stand here and list off a name of 20 major ministers who followed her like a little puppy. Why? Well, it looked like a miracle. See, they don't know the difference between deception. They don't know. See, I knew from this when I first started, when I was sitting there and this thing was going on with her, And something inside of me, that ain't right. See, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Something's not right. Well, then the more I started listening on the inside, I started realizing the grieving of the Holy Spirit. He's grieved. There's a man trying to preach and he can't. This is going on over here. And then a big name steps up and just totally grieves the Holy Ghost. Hey, God said. The prophet. He was a prophet. God said. But see, the crowd loved it. Oh my God, somebody with this manifestation is going to touch me. What did they get touched with? I'm going to tell you what. You better watch what you let yourself, just because the crowd's gone and touching you. There's more than the Spirit of God. And I've seen ministers who sometimes operate in the Spirit of God, and other times they're operating in familiar spirits. I've watched them. You better know what's going on. There's Christians getting messed up in this stuff. We don't get led, but we just follow after what, because, hey, it's good entertainment. Looks good out here. This thing's going on. It's great. But it just, it killed. Well, when this whole thing got out in the over, one of the things I just couldn't repent. None of those ministers repented about following after that. Not a one of them. Well, when they found out that, they found out then that this woman was all messed up, well, you know, they always like to like, we had nothing to do with that. But see, people followed. See, I remember Brother Hagin got up from the student body and tried to talk to people about it. And I heard students criticizing him. Well, so-and-so said it's God. So-and-so said it is. Well, that's his big name. He says. See, they follow people ain't following God. They're following what they see and so-and-so said. And don't matter. Well, what's God got to say about it? See, we want manifestation of God. Here we're told in this that people are going to be deceived by false prophets and false miracles. See, that happened down in, with this thing down in Lakeland, Florida, because they got over into the thing with this thing, gold flake and gold stuff, and things started again. It was a ministry. This woman would shake, she was from South America, she would shake her hair and do stuff, and they'd say, well, gold flakes and stuff, and jewels would come out of her hair. When I first heard about this thing going on, this was before they started down in Lakeland. But what happened is they brought it to Lakeland. See, there's a lot of things in Lakeland. They bought a false prophet to Lakeland. His name was Jones. And they bought this guy there. And I'll never forget. First time I heard him talk, he talked for about 2 minutes. And I said, that guy has a spirit I don't want to be near. People don't know. You know, I've stood in a church already and had a person stand up front, come up to the ministry and stand there. Praying in tongues, and I'm going to tell you, to me, it was like somebody had a piece of chalk and just on the chalkboard going, squeaking. They're talking in tongues. But you know, the whole thing, it is, the majority of people in the church they thought that was all right. Man, I'll tell you what, to me, in my spirit, it was like the devil trying to talk to me personally. It just, and I was thinking about, man, I wanted to deal with that. And the Lord said, let it alone. Because I realized why. You go ahead and deal with that, and everybody on earth thinks it's God. The congregation will turn on you. They'll just shut everything off. They don't know what's God or what's not. See, we got to come back in the church to know what's God and what's not. See, false things go on, and it becomes a difficult thing. Well, this lady doing this stuff, in fact, Randy, Rhema people got so hooked up at her. Randy Greer was down, and this was before I had gotten involved in his ministry, but he went down to Gatlinburg and they were having a minister's conference for Rhema thing down there for regional, Rhema's regional ministerial thing. So anyhow, he come down there and he shows up the second night. They want him as a speaker, so he's going to come in, but he can't get there till the second night. And Randy Greer comes in. God gave him a thing about this gold phenomena. And told him to talk about this was the devil and this was the stuff was going on. Anyway, now, number one, I got into the thing of checking this. See, I'm a big checker on things. I want to find out. I found out, I went online, found out about this lady, where she came from, what was going on. Ministers had problems in that area because they said this was gold flake and all this kind of stuff, gold and jewels. They had this stuff tested and it ain't gold and it ain't jewels. know, there's manifestation. Hey, it's a manifestation. This stuff is manifesting. It's showing up. There's people who show up like this. This flake stuff would show up on their faces. People in the meetings. When I was down in Lakeland, they bought in down there. Later on, they started saying, people said their fillings and stuff would turn to gold. Well, I knew that was the devil. What's the purpose of your filling turning to gold? What blessing does that bring? You're going to pull your tooth? And have to pay more than what the gold's worth to get the tooth replaced? It's like, there's nothing in that stuff. There's nothing in it. And see, people started having, anything that looks like a miracle, anything that looks like, people just jump on, this is the thing, this is it. Well, I found out there was ministers, they had this stuff checked out, and it didn't work. Well, you know, I was down there, Randall Greer turned around and prophesied at the meeting, and which made all these Rhema ministers mad, because they said, you need to get this woman at your church, boys, they'll bring people in. See, they'll bring people in. It isn't about, it's going to bring God in, it's going to bring people in. See, then we get a lot of people and a lot of offerings. Ah, this is what church is really about. This is what it is. So they're gonna do this. And so he gets up and he said, and he prophesied and said, by the end of the week, the woman that first brought her in here is going to die. And he said, within a short period of time, the man will die. And that Friday, the lady died. And 6 months later, the guy died. The Lord said, I tried to get them to repent and they refused. And they refused to repent. You see, people get over, and this is one of the things, it isn't just manifestation, it's who's manifesting what. Understand this, when Moses was sent by God, and God him and said, hey, go up there to Egypt and set my people free. Go up there. Now first, he gave him some signs to show the people, the Jews, first to show them that God was in this thing. One of them was to throw his rod down and turn it into a snake. Another one was take water out of the river, pour it on the land, it'll turn into blood. And he said, take your hand, put it in the inside of your garment. And he said, you pull it out, it'll be leprous. He said, you put it back in, it'll be healed, be completely clean. He said, now you show that to the Jews to show that I sent you here. So in other words, God's having to do something visual to get people to believe. You know, we sing in a song up here, and that song says, we see and we believe, but by faith you receive. See, faith is about how you receive. Many people would come to faith because of what they saw. Like a person will sit in a meeting, and they don't know about healing, and they'll see God heal, and they'll know somebody that was sick that got healed. Their soul that God will heal. Now, but it's going to require them to be in faith to believe to receive it. That God will do it for them. This is why we teach the word, folks. Many times people come in, they see God works. See, that's why we want demonstrations and manifestations of the Spirit. Because it grabs people. Ah, God does do this stuff. You know, they've sat in church all their life and their minister said, God don't. They need to see something. They need to see manifestations of God in demonstration. So they'll come to the Word. Hey, that Bible's true. Those stuff here ain't dead, ain't gone. It's still doing it. So we want it. We want the manifestations. We want it to preach the Word too. But the first three miracles that were done in that instant, the first three that were carried out, the Egyptians did those same miracles. When he threw his rod down, it turned into a snake. The Egyptian magicians come out and did the same thing. They threw theirs down. But his rod swallowed theirs. His snake swallowed theirs. But then he turned around and he went and did the second one. He went down there and he went down to the river, and the water was turned into blood. And you know what? The sorcerers went and took water and turned it into blood just like he did. The next one they did was frogs. He went down, they cursed, frogs started coming out all over the place. Frogs. And the sorcerers turned around and did exactly the same thing. You see, there's maybe one of the reasons I haven't had a problem with this, because I've evolved in sorcery before I got born again. So you can get spirits to work through you to manifest things. The most thing that surprised me the most in Christianity once I got born again is how little Christians knew about spirits and their operation. How little they knew. Christians didn't know much. I went to Spirit-filled church and I thought, dear God. They don't know the difference between God and not God. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what's happening. But see, we need to understand this. Satan can manifest things. But see, you're given the Spirit of God. You're given the Holy Spirit. And you have the Holy Spirit in you. You know, any minister gets nervous and doesn't like the idea that you might question something. There's something wrong with him. Stay away from them. If a person legitimately wants to know and understand, there's nothing wrong with that at all. And see, we need to understand dealing with these things. In fact, when they came along and the sign that they did was lice. They did the lice. They made the lice and the sorcerers tried it. It didn't work, but the lice got all over them. And they went to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, this is God. They told Pharaoh, this is definitely God. Now, from then on, everything changed. Up until that time, all the things that happened to everyone. But then the miracles after the lice, they only took place with the Egyptians. It didn't take place in Goshen where the Jews were. God separated between his people. And you know what? I'm just going to tell you this. There is going to be a definite separation between the real church and the rest of the world and the fake church. We're in a time, and we're dealing with this right now, we're in a time of judgment. If you go on to read Kenneth Hagin's prophecy about these things, he said to follow the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and me. And he said, you'll not be deceived. He said, I'm gathering my own together, preparing them for the time short. And then there were several exhortations he said for watchfulness to stay awake. He went on to talk about there was going to be like the days of Noah, like the last 7 days of Noah. And he said these last 7 days are like the 7 days of Noah. He said, when I told Noah, and if you read that, it's about judgment. Dealing with the areas of judgment. And the Lord witnessed to me about this thing here in this end times that we're coming into. There's going to be a definite difference between what I'll call this, the remnant church, and the rest of what's going on. It's going to be a definite difference. Right now, you and I mean, I want you to think about this. We have been sitting in the middle of judgment going on in our nation. There's a lot of people suffering through these different things, events that have been taken over from the things. I mean, when we look at our nation, I mean, now they're talking the monkeypox thing coming, and, you know, it's another fear-driven thing that they can start at. Now that, and there's a vaccination for that, you know, so we're just going to line up for the vaccinations. We're just going to get, but they give you a vaccination, something like smallpox. So they give you a vaccination like that, but they said, don't worry. They'll figure out another one where they can give you one every 4 months. So don't. But the whole thing, we have all these things that are going on. We're dealing with areas of judgment. Now, understand this. Judgment comes because of sin. This is why. People don't judge themselves. They will be judged. That simple. People reap what they sow. So judgment comes. America's having its last call. And it read, a call to repentance. That's what they're called to. Repentance. That's not the real popular thing today is about repentance, because we have dealing with the areas of grace. You don't have to repent anymore. If you sin, you're automatically covered. You don't worry about it. So we have churches that are just filled with sin because nobody's repenting of anything. They're just living their lives. Everything's going to be, Jesus took care of it all. Well, in a sense, there's a truth to that. But I mean, they leave it to, we have no part. It's all God. And we just, you know, we get all the benefit. And without doing anything, and because God just takes care of everything. Well, that's not true. And the Bible doesn't even teach how people come up with these ideas, and people would be so stupid. I can understand that. I think there's a lot more churches have a lot less people born again in them that they think are born again. I think a lot of churches don't have many people born again in them, and they're saying they're preaching Christ. Because we know this, they couldn't read their Bible and come up with these ideas. I mean, how could you read the Bible? The idea. I mean, just read Paul's writings where he writes to the church about dealing with the flesh. I mean, if we didn't have to deal with the flesh, what was he doing? Why is all that in the Bible? What's that there for? Why God keep bugging me about my flesh? If we don't have to deal with it, why does he keep talking to me about mine? But I want you, what we want to do that this morning, and we're not, this is not a thing, it's not a thing to be critical, it's a thing of warning for us. It's about us, you and I, getting ready, preparing ourselves. Don't get caught in the deception. There's just loads of deception today. Loads of things that aren't right. I mean, read what Peter said. Paul wrote about the way people would be in the end times. Here they are. You know, I remember when I first started off in Christianity, I'd read what Paul said about lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. And you could always think of one or two bad people that you thought fit that. I mean, now you can think of them by the millions. That's like, dear Lord, you can think of whole states. No, but it is. I mean, I look at it today and I think, my God, things are insane today the way they are. And we're seeing a fulfillment of these things. And we need to be careful with ourselves. See, if we get deceived, who's going to help people? Who is really going to help? The people that are deceived ain't help. They can't help themselves. They're not going to help anybody. This isn't about fixing a problem or just giving people meals. It's not that at all. It's not about trying to give somebody lunch. You know, we can give them lunch all we want, be nice. But people are deceived. They aren't going to be ready. Jesus is coming. You know, people say, well, what did he mean by saying people not being ready? Are they going to go to heaven or not go to heaven? I'm just going to say this. You figure that out with God. There's one thing I figured out a long time ago. I ain't getting in that class no way to find out either way. I'm going to set myself to be ready to go. I'm going to set myself to listen and be ready. See, he said, follow the word, follow the Holy Spirit, and he said in me. As I've said before, you know why he said the Holy Spirit before him? Because the Holy Spirit's the one that guides you in line with him. You can't bypass the Holy Spirit to know Jesus. This is why most of the church world doesn't know a thing about Jesus, because they don't know nothing about the Holy Spirit. And you can't get to Jesus without the Holy Ghost. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If you want to live out sonship, you live it out through being led by the Holy Spirit. He will guide you and lead you in line with the Word. And I'll tell you what, you won't have a problem following Jesus. You will not have a problem following Jesus. Now, nobody's perfect. Nobody knows everything about this. But I'm going to tell you, listen to the warnings on the inside of yourself and your own spirit. Listen on the inside of you. I learned this, which was always helpful to me and maybe helpful to you. But Kenneth Hagin talked about always follow peace. Follow peace. Now, when he's talking about that, he's not doing it sounds peace to you and whatever somebody else in your minds are. About your heart. See, I've been at peace in my heart about something, and my mind's driving me crazy about what I ought to do. I'm trying to tell my mind to shut up. But on the inside, there's peace. Peace on the inside. Understand this. It is hugely helpful if you learn to do that. If you're not at peace in your heart about something, don't do it. Don't stop. Don't try to move towards something. If you don't have peace. There's many things in my Christian walk where I came along and people followed after stuff. I didn't know why. I had no idea why it just didn't seem right to me. Something was wrong. I didn't know. But I didn't go along because I just in the inside. See, if somebody asked me, well, what's wrong? I don't know. But I just know my heart has a roadblock to that area. My conscience is bothering me. I'm going to tell you what. Let me just say this. If you don't stay close to the Word, your conscience will let you do things that the Holy Ghost and Jesus don't want you to do at all. See, this is one thing. The more you get the Word in you, the more sensitive you will become concerning conscience. The more you get the Word inside your spirit, the more you listen. You got to learn to follow your conscience, not the Don't go ask somebody else if their conscience is bothering them. Say, well, they're saying it's okay, so we're going to go do it. And that was one of the things that, dealing in that area, I learned a lesson, and that was from a dream that I had, because a minister friend of mine asked me to pray. They had some people in their church, and they got all over here. See, the seeker-friendly thing didn't just something. The seeker-friendly thing started when I was back a young Christian, and they started rock and roll Christianity. And we're going to use rock and roll to reach people. Yaha. It's good preaching, folks. Oh, yes, we're going to be rock and roll. We're going to have, because it's going to, we're going to give people what they want. We're going to give people what they want to hear. They like the stuff, and we're going to give them what they want to hear. And they started this thing of, well, you know, we're going to go out there and we're going to make songs for Jesus and rock and roll, and then we'll throw a couple rock and rollers in there too, and this way, you know, they'll know that we like them and that. See, the seeker friendly. We're going to give them some of what they want, and we're going to sneak Jesus in on them. And rock and roll won. But anyhow, so he asked me to pray because they had a group in their church had got over out into this thing, and they were going to do this, you know, play both sides of the road. And they're going to reach people for Jesus. Hey, now this is way back before Seeker Friendly, but yet Seeker Friendly was here, was already here. And that's when I had the vision. I think it was what the Bible calls, we call a night vision, because it was different than any dream. Like, I've had spiritual dreams already. I don't often have that. There's some times I've had dreams. But this one here was so real. When that was going on, I knew it was not a dream when it was happening. I'm like, this is real. I mean, and it was. I mean, it was so real, this dream. I would have thought I was back in Vietnam. I mean, I mean, everything, the surroundings, all of what was going on and happened, this thing. But what the Lord wanted to show me is people getting deceived. And it was a deception through what they thought was an angel in the dream. And what it was the devil showing up like an angel of light. See, and that's what he did. When that dream, when I went through that thing, whether it's a vision or a dream, I had it. When I woke up, I knew what it was about. It was about those people. Doing, they thought it looked good, but it was the devil. Well, I told the minister about it. He had asked me to pray, and I told him what happened. Because this had been a couple months after he had told me to pray about that. And he turned around and he said, I had a sense, he said, I could not get clear on this thing. He said, about this being good, what they wanted to do. And he said, people are more and more doing this, were doing that at that time, started doing that. And he told them about it, and they said, no, it was God. Well, they went out and followed what they said was God and ended up all following the world eventually and not following Jesus anymore. That's what they did. And I'm going to tell you, this center, seeker friendly, that's what's going to happen with it. It's just going to keep it up till it just follows the world. It is just going to follow off, and people by the droves are going to follow off into the world. Because it makes the flesh happy. And you do anything like that long enough, and after a while, you will not have any more conscience of doing wrong. We're doing this, and everything seems to be nice and good, and I like it this way. I go into church, and I'm in and out in 40 minutes, and wow, we're just doing something, and everything is just working out sweet. You know, we're just doing really nice, and I'm all right, and I can live like I want. I mean, you go, I don't know if you ever do this. I go online, you look at some of these churches, and I look on, they have like their minister, and you look on, click on the things on their site for their minister, and it'll tell about their minister, and they don't have anything spiritual on there at all. His favorite movies, his favorite music, and you know, and I'm gonna tell you what, loads of time, their favorite music, there's no Christian music in it. Favorite movies, loads of things I can't watch. You wouldn't believe it. You go in. Why? They're catering to the world. They're trying to tell the world, I'm just like you. I'm just like you. I want the world to know I'm not like you.
Praise God.
I was like you. You could be changed. But if you stay the way they are, you're going to face the lake of fire.
Amen.
God's going to put you there. Not the devil. God is. See, we don't preach at God. We don't tell people. God's going to judge. He's never stopped. Hallelujah. That's why you and I are fortunate. We took the judgment through Jesus. Hallelujah. We accepted the judgment of Jesus Christ took for us. Hallelujah. So we don't face the wrath of God. And that's what we want to tell people. But we're going to go over on this. I just really felt today there was, I needed, the Spirit of the Lord woke me up, is talking about some of these things to warn people. See, this stuff is not new. It goes on. See, you may not pay much attention, but people out here in groups, the stuff that people are following is amazing that people get sucked into. I mean, I was just totally amazed when Randall Greer started talking about how much like Arema people were following after some of this stuff. I mean, it was off the wall. There was this thing of this Bible that oil was coming out of a Bible. This got to be a big thing down through southern United States and on up into Tennessee and Kentucky and those places. Some guy that came along and he had a Bible and they said this Bible was pumping oil out of it. And they said it was they tested the oil and they said it was something like an olive oil, and there was something else in it, and they had this thing, and they put it in this container. Well, see, it got around, and see, this thing got around when they started. Well, see, this is special anointing oil that God has given. See, now, we're living in this day, we have this special anointing oil. Why would I need a special anointing oil for healing? The Bible already tells me what to do. You don't need anything special. You don't need nothing special. See, when people do that, they start this thing. Everybody, people, oh, they're just going to get these little bottles, you know, buy your bottle, man. You get there, you know, little dump a little in your hair, fix your hair up and everything. I'll tell you, no telling what it'll do. Mike, maybe we can get some and get these spots fixed up. What do you think? I'll tell you, we got her. No, but see, people are doing, they're buying this thing and all people are onto it. They have it in this container and they said they had, you know, all these cameras on it and all this stuff. This thing's, you know, they got this oil and, you know, they're going, this is just wonderful. Well, they found out then it was fake that, this guy was putting oil in it and stuff, and it was. They caught him at a hardware store buying the oil. It was a mixture of a couple different types of oil that he was buying. He was putting in there. I hope it was synthetic and use it in the car. I mean, at least my car would be blessed. I mean, but you have these kind of things. Though people are all these kind of things go on. They throwing it out there and say, see, this is something special that God gave at this time. See, the first thing that comes to my mind, if that is God, I can't wait to get in front of Jesus' face and tell him what a jerk he is. Why would you offer something at this time and not bless the people before? You weren't always good. You see, I don't buy that junk. These people that something special. The Bible tells me I can ask for healing anytime. I don't need a special oil to get it. It don't come through oil. The prayer of faith saves the sick. See, these people, they start, when people leave the Bible, you know, what's his name, the trumpet player, Phil Driscoll. I got a thing one time from Phil Driscoll, sent me I don't know how he sent me or where he got it from, but sent me a thing about there's some kind of, they're selling some kind of stuff. It's some kind of something that grows, I don't know if it was in Malaysia or someplace, and one of those places. And you take the bottle of it and you take this and I'm going to, it'll just cure everything in the world. I mean, anything, even stupidity, I guess. It'll just cure anything. It'll just, you take this stuff and you buy it. And as soon as I heard him say this, see, God, the Lord told me that he gave us this at this special time and church. He specifically gave it to us for this day and this age and time. And so, and then he gave a testimony. He said, yes, he knows this woman who's a nurse and she was living in the country where it comes from. I think it was Malaysia, one of them, like that. And says, She can't get a job because the people over there use this and they don't have anybody sick. Well, I thought, oh, whoa, man. So let's go check this one out. So, first of all, I said, God, if you supplied this at this time and didn't tell people before, man, you're about as bad as it gets. But I said, I want to find out. So anyhow, I went online and checked through the World Health Organization and some other organizations and that stuff about, because you can check on any country about how their systems of health systems run and all that. And their health system's terrible in that country. It's horrible. The death rates are really high. And here he is giving people here's a guy born again, got suckered into this thing, and is turning around and telling people lies. She can't get a job. She could have got a million jobs in that country. Dear Lord, they don't have people. Their hospitals lack so bad and all this kind of stuff. But see, people, Christians. See, and they target. Christians are the suckers. They are. They're suckers. I've watched it. You know, God gave this business this and you do this and that. You know what I mean? If I want to get somebody to fall for a pyramid scheme, get these Christians. You'll get them. You'll take them for money. Now, you know what? You guys wouldn't, but I'm going to tell you what. Most of them, boy, they'll just, God said and told me this. Nobody ever check anything out. They just go jumping. I checked. They were selling that stuff like crazy. And now it's not so popular anymore. You know, God took it back, I guess. But what's bad is when the church becomes the problem with God said. And the church has become a problem with God said. It's become a problem. The Lord told me, see, there's need to be less said. See, we need to have credibility with people. You need to have credibility with people. And we want to have credibility. You know, I always think about, you know, my father. I remember forgetting I was just a little kid and my dad went to the bank and borrowed money and the bank president came out to my dad. My dad said about the papers, about when he wanted to come in and sign the papers. He said, Clyde, you don't have to sign any papers. He said, your handshake's enough for me. I said, man, you'd never do that today. Mm-hmm. Heck, you wouldn't do that with a preacher. I am not kidding. You wouldn't want to do it with preachers. Now, I don't mean all of them are bad, but I'm going to tell you best know the guy that you're shaking hands with. You best know them good, because I'll tell you what, oh, more people have gotten taken across by preachers who claim a lot. It got so bad that Rhema would not hire contractors who pushed, they were Christians and hiring, because they got taken across by so many Christian contractors. See, they'd come in and do lousy work and they'd say, I'm a Christian brother, you're supposed to forgive me. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, they blatantly told us, they said, you be careful out there because that's where the ripoff comes from. The Christian, the guy that says, I'm a Christian. I'm not interested in you. When you're going to do business with me, I'm interested in your business. We'll find out shortly you're a Christian. You don't tell me a thing. We'd find out shortly. Hallelujah. Honesty, a good thing. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to ask Eileen to come here today. Hallelujah. See, we believe the Word of God and we believe concerning manifestation. See, as long as we follow what the Word says, and this is the big thing. We don't have any danger. And Mike, come on up for you, praying with your wife here in agreement. Understand, we're following the Word. And we follow the Word and believe the seed. We follow the Word, follow the Spirit. And don't worry, you'll be following Jesus. You will be. And this is what we're doing. We're following the Word. So the Word tells us where two agree is by touching anything they ask. It shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. And then Jesus said, you know, those ones that agree, He said, they're agreed. I'm in the middle of it. He's in the middle, by His name. Now I want you to think of this. And we're going to pray. What do we pray in the name of Jesus? We pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, it's just as if I'm in the thing with the praying on us. It's just as if he is. Now, do you think Jesus is going to pray for you and it ain't going to work? See, there's one thing is we've been given to the church. The prayer of agreement is really probably the most powerful prayer of the church. Because it is really the guaranteed prayer that Jesus said, whatever you ask. You can ask for a miracle. You can ask for anything. He's anything that you ask. You can ask. So really, and I've watched this already. Things that dealt with miracles. People needed a miracle. See, there's a difference between healings and miracles. You know, healing is the healing of something in your body that's sick, something like that. But there's times in that stuff and praying for people. Like they would pray for people like, say, I learned this in the ministry. They used to do it at Raymond when I was there. They would have people like, say, with MS. And what happens is their nervous system gets destroyed. And what they need is a miracle. See, that's how people pray for healing. They don't need a healing. They need a miracle. They need that healing. It needs replaced. Their electrical body, electrical system needs replaced. But I've seen time and time again where people got completely delivered of MS because they'd always stop and say, Brother Hagin would have the healing anointing on him, or even Ken Jr. And they'd say, now, my healing anointing ain't going to change this. But they'd say, now look, we're going to, if you agree together, let's stand, let's get in agreement together. We're going to agree for this person's healing. And I saw time and time again, the person who had MS got healed on agreement. See, lots of times people are trying to use anointings and things. It is a hugely powerful thing, the prayer of agreement. If anything that Christians ought to meditate on is that, about walking in light of that agreement and that prayer. Hallelujah. Whatever you ask, Jesus said in my name, I'm there. In other words, he's smack dab in the middle of this thing of bringing it to pass. Can you get any better than that? Hallelujah. I don't think he'd mess up in prayer. I just don't think. Hallelujah. We're agreeing. She's going to have a supernatural recovery. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A supernatural recovery. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, I've always followed in line with that. It works. You know, Kenneth Hagin said, if you're going to go to the doctor, Jesus said to him, pray for the person they have a quick recovery. That's the thing to do. And I've seen that thing work like that and doing that. Hallelujah. It works. Jesus wants his people well. He wants you well. Glory to God. So hallelujah. We're agreeing with her. We're going to ask for it and it will be done in Jesus' name, Father. I just thank you. Lord, it's so wonderful. Hallelujah. That you gave us such a powerful ministry together. Hallelujah. And Father, I want to thank you right now in the name of Jesus. I'm agreeing with my sister Eileen, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, you're right here in the midst of the thing. She will have a supernatural, quick recovery in the name of Jesus. She will have a wonderful testimony of what Jesus Christ did for her. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. It is so. It is so. Does anybody else need agreement for anything?